Metro Manila mayor is preparing for a possible shift to granular lockdowns this week. The Philippines reopens its borders to more countries despite the surging number of COVID-19 cases. We'll tackle that with Dr. Roberto Salvador Jr. of the Bureau of Quarantine. Vice President Lenny Robredo slams the Duterte administration for its budget priorities amid the pandemic. And VP Robredo still hoping for a united opposition in next year's polls. Hi, I'm Camila Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, Metro Manila mayor is preparing for a shift to granular lockdowns this week instead of the usual city or region-wide pandemic curbs. The proposal is just awaiting the approval of President Duterte. The current modified enhanced community quarantine over Metro Manila is set to expire tomorrow, September 7. The chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority, Benhur Avalos, says the move will allow mayors to lock down specific COVID-19 hotspots while reopening the economy further. But the Philippine College of Physicians has some concerns over this new policy.
What about the people who will have to go to their workplaces, no? Whose workplaces may probably be not in the same locality where they are, but it will probably be in another local government unit. Will the workplaces be able to, you know, understand their absence? This actually makes it quite difficult for people to really follow the lockdown. They will still go out because they want to be assured that they will still continue to have work, no? And that is very important. So I don't think that really that these granular lockdowns will really be as effective as what they would like to.
A local research group also points out they have not seen any evidence showing granular lockdowns are effective given the widespread transmission of the Delta variant.
If it's on a smaller scale, it might work. But in the past, we have seen that when we were having a surge back in March, they imposed granular lockdowns in Pasay City and they locked down a lot of barangays in Pasay City, but it was not able to contain the surge. And we had to go to an ECQ to contain the surge eventually. If they're going to do granular lockdowns on a lot of barangays anyway, it will be manpower intensive because they need people to guard, to man the stations, to bring food to these people who are under lockdown.
The Philippines recorded over 20,000 new COVID-19 infections for a third straight day Sunday. This raises the number of active cases to over 157,000. Over 20,000 additional recoveries were reported, along with 173 more deaths. The National Capital Region and Central Luzon still account for a bulk of the new infections. Another hospital in Cavite has stopped accepting new COVID-19 patients. The Hospital ng Imo says it is already catering to over three times its capacity. Manpower also a problem, with 30 of its employees currently undergoing quarantine.
Noong last week po ay umabot na ng 42 patients ang nasa emergency room. Ang capacity po noon na bed capacity is 17.
Public and private hospitals in Dasmariñas and Bacoor are also filling up with COVID-19 cases. But according to the health department, the hospital bed occupancy in Cavite is still at 71.6%, with over 200 more vacant beds. A medical group, however, refutes this.
Actually, the DOH figures do not reflect what is really happening on the ground. The emergency room are full, the ICU and even the regular wards are full. So there is no way that the emergency room people are lining up in the emergency room, are not being admitted in the hospitals, and yet it will be said that the ICUs are not filled up.
Over in the U.S., hospital staff are once again struggling to cope with stress and trauma that bring back a great, make that grim memories of the worst pandemic. That's as the Delta variant fuels another surge in infections. Here's the full story.
This year, I've definitely put a lot more people in body bags than I would like to in my whole lifetime.
A recent surge in COVID cases and deaths is once again straining the healthcare system in parts of the United States, and it's taking an emotional toll on frontline hospital workers.
We're all tired. We all just try and take care of each other.
In video provided by the Maine Medical Center, ICU nurses said they used to treat elderly patients or those with pre-existing conditions at the height of the pandemic, but now they're treating the unvaccinated in this most recent surge.
We come to work every day.
You good?
And we know it's going to be a hard day. Every day is going to be a hard day. I'm just anxious about what the day is going to bring, what's going to happen, who's going to die.
These nurses in Portland, Maine, say the strain of dealing with so many critically ill or dying patients can sometimes be too much. Meanwhile, some other healthcare workers in the U.S. who treat COVID patients have reported struggling with something common to many military veterans, post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. Reuters spoke to around half a dozen ICU staffers who experienced symptoms such as nightmares bathed in sweat, flashbacks to dying patients during the pandemic's fear-filled early days, flaring anger, and panic at the sound of medical alarms. Those whose symptoms last longer than 1 month and are severe enough to interfere with daily life can be diagnosed with PTSD. The surging Delta variant is heaping on fresh trauma as the United States and other nations begin to study PTSD in health workers. One hospital nurse told Reuters many of the emotions that first emerged during the worst of the pandemic are coming back, and another said there's no option but to just, quote, deal with it.
Vietnam's Ministry of Health sets September 15th as the deadline for the first vaccination shot of all adult residents in large cities like Hanoi. Vietnam is battling a worsening outbreak that has infected more than 500,000 people. It has also killed 13,000, the vast majority occurring in just these past few months. Vietnam has one of the lowest COVID-19 vaccination rates in the region, with only 3.3% of the country's 98 million population fully inoculated and 15.4% with one shot. Israel relaunching a pilot program that would grant entry to tourists from select countries. That's as COVID infections dip ahead of the Jewish high holidays. The tourism ministry said the program would restart on September 19. Arriving tourists must be fully vaccinated. They must also present a recent negative COVID test and undergo antibody testing upon arrival in order to skip quarantine. Visitors from countries labeled as red or those with high transmission rates are still barred from entering. Back here at home, the Philippines is reopening its borders to more countries. Here's the thing, though. Some of those nations are battling a wave of coronavirus cases themselves. How can the Philippine government assure the public the lifting of travel bans won't lead to the entry of more COVID-19 carriers? For the answers, we're going to be joined now by Dr. Roberto Salvador Jr. of the Bureau of Quarantine. Dr. Salvador, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us this afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, po, and good afternoon po to all our listeners and viewers.
Right. Dr. Salvador, I just said beginning today, travel restrictions to, I think, 10 countries will be lifted. How will you be able to manage this?
Sir, ma'am, the Bureau of Quarantine po is the one in charge. Okay, our mandate is to secure the borders against this kind of infectious emerging and re-emerging diseases. So since the start of pandemic po, in place na po yung system natin kay on the quarantine protocols. So, yung pong mga galing sa restricted country, meron tayong protocols po na lahat po ng arriving natin, even dun sa mga high incidence kay ng COVID sa mga country of origin po, kina-quarantine natin sila mandatory for 10 days po.
How confident are you that the system in place is working, Dr. Salvador?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Kami po talaga kasi ang in-charge since the pandemic. So from the time of arrival po, Bureau of Quarantine po ang pinaka unang-una pong nag-manage po ng mga arriving travelers natin. So we will quarantine them sa mandatory facility and symptoms for 10 days po before we release, after they will test negative po sa RT-PCR test.
How can you say that, Dr. Salvador, when clearly we are experiencing a surge in numbers, in fact, record-breaking numbers in COVID-19 cases? And clearly, as some experts and even the DOH also pointed out at one interview, in one interview on the show, that there was a breach in protocols. Kaya tayo humantong sa ganito. So how can you say, Dr. Salvador, that you're confident in the system that's in place right now, doctor?
Hello, sorry po ma'am, na-cut po yung line. Sorry.
Nakuha niyo ba yung tanong ko po? Hindi po.
Hindi ko po nakuha yung question.
Sorry. Opo, it's okay. I can say it again. Kanina po nabanggit niyo na sa simula pa lang kayo naman pala talaga ang in charge, hindi po ba? Dito sa mga returning or inbound travelers, i-generalize na lang po natin. Sinabi niyo rin po na you're confident with the system in place. Pero paano niyo po masasabi yon? Ganong we are experiencing record-breaking numbers. At mismong ang DOH na rin po ang nakapagsabi, dito rin po sa programa na ito, na this all points to a breach in protocols. At na-interview na rin po namin si MMDA Chairman Benher Abalos. At during one interview, sinabi po niya that the Bureau of Quarantine should do a better job. Go ahead, doctor.
Yes, ma'am. With regards to the quarantine protocol po, doon sa mga arriving international passenger na a traveler, international traveler po natin, talagang magstay doon sa mandatory quarantine facility natin for the required number of days, 10 or 40 days. With regards po dun sa sinasabi natin na breach in protocol, that will be more on the community side po. So community outbreak po yung nangyayari sa atin na nagkakaroon po ng problem po kay yung pagtupad po ng minimum health standard ng mga kababayan natin. Pero hindi po ito pwedeng i-trace po o i-trace doon sa mga international traveler po.
Paano nakapasok ang Delta variant?
Ang Delta... ang virus po kasi is continuous po nag-mutate. So hindi po natin pwedeng sabihin po na ang Delta variant po talagang galing lang po ng India. Kasi po yung mga unang Delta variant po, for example po yung nanggaling po sa mga seafarer, kami din po ang nag-respond doon. Lahat po ng variant na yun doon sa vessel na yon natin po for 14 days. So with regards to the international travel po, confident po kami na...
Dr. Salvador? Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try and reestablish our connection with Dr. Salvador because we still have a lot of questions for him, considering that this is going to be a big move. How will they be able to really confidently protect our borders with a lifting of travel restrictions to 10 countries? Do we have him back? I think we have him back. Dr. Salvador, pasensya na po. Dr. Salvador, can you unmute yourself? Maraming salamat po.
Yes po. Sorry ma'am, pangit talaga yung signal. Pasensya na po.
It's okay, pero importante po kasi yung issue, kaya yes po hindi talaga namin kayo bibitawan. So you were saying, you're confident na nahuli ninyo or you were able to really contain the Delta variant coming from yung seafarers na unang napabalita, hindi po ba? Pero meron din po kasi yung mga balita na merong nakakalusot, merong lumalabag ng protocol.
Si talaga mamang in charge dito sa quarantine facility. So sa ngayon po, wala po kaming data na nakikita po na lumalabag po, especially yung galing sa restricted country. So before po kasi netong latest IATF protocol, pag galing ka sa restricted country, 14 days mandatory quarantine. Mm-hmm. And yung mga 40, yung mga returning Filipinos po natin, may nakabantay pong Bureau of Quarantine doon sa mga hotel kung saan sila ay naka-quarantine.
Okay.
So talaga po hindi po sila makakalabas pagka binabantayan po ng Bureau of Quarantine.
How many quarantine facilities are under your care right now, under your supervision?
So meron po kami mga quarantine facility for positive natin, mga OFW. And meron din po kami mga positive, mga hotel facility na doon dinadala yung mga galing sa restricted countries po.
Ilan pong facilities ito, Dr. Salvador?
Probably po more than 15 po yung total number of hotels natin. Ang effect lang po talaga nito kasi napakalaki po nung responsibility na binigay sa atin ng government ng IATF, lalo po ngayong bubuksan nila yung mga country na dati nating nire-restrict. Mm-hmm. Ang effect po talaga nito is yung problem namin sa human resources.
Yun kasi for us, doon na po ako punta. So yes, you have, at this point, you said you have 15 quarantine facilities.
Yes, po.
And how many personnel manning these facilities?
Yun po talaga ang problem namin na since the start of pandemic po, talaga pong nag-evolve din po yung responsibility ng BOQ kaya na dumami po yung mga quarantine facility na hinahawakan namin. So sa ngayon po, nagbigay kami ng request sa DOH. So nagre-appeal po kami para po matulungan kami ng additional job order para po mas maganda po yung response sa pandemic response ng Bureau of Quarantine.
Dr. Silva, sorry, but you failed to answer my question. Dun sa 15 facilities po, ilan ang personnel ng BOQ manning these facilities?
Sa 15 facilities po, ang maliit na hotel po natin is composed po of 5 to 10 BOQ personnel, composed of doctor po, nurses, and marshal po.
And at any given time, these 5 to 10 BOQ personnel are taking care of how many individuals?
Depending po sa capacity ng hotel, meron po kami 50 to 200 hotel rooms po.
Opo. So, but if you can put a number to it, on the average, if you have 15 to 10 BOQ personnel, ilan po ang inaalagaan po nila at minomonitor?
100 to 150.
Per facility?
Yes po.
And when you lift these restrictions to 10 countries beginning today, meron ho ba kayong projection as to how many will be arriving?
Sa ngayon po, wala ako mabigay na figures. Pero sigurado po natataas kay yung arrivals natin galing sa mga dating red countries o dating restricted or yung tinatawag nating red countries ngayon. Pero we are preparing po. So same pa rin po yung protocol, 10 days mandatory facility quarantine. And after 10 days, if they will test negative, they will be endorsed to their respective LGUs.
Mm-hmm. So if
continue the remaining 4 days quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Salvador, if we are looking at 5 to 10 BOQ personnel to 100 to 150 individuals, no, na minomonitor po nila, and you're saying you're requesting for additional job orders for additional personnel, ilan po ang hinihingi ninyo? How many more do you need in terms of personnel?
Initial po namin request is 359 since December po. So ang kailangan po namin is at least 200 po personnel po.
And this has been your appeal since December?
Yes po. Pero po na-consider na po tayo. So anytime po siguro mabibigay na po yung budget na allotted po ng DOH po sa atin.
Dr. Salvador, if you had these people in place since December of last year, do you think you would have managed the quarantine of these inbound individuals better?
Yes, ma'am.
Ano po yung challenges that you're experiencing?
More on the manpower issues po na ali power namin na nadideploy sa mga hotels. Pero kahit po limited po yon, na make sure po namin na papatupad namin yung strict quarantine protocols po.
So So having said that, why would you be needing additional?
Hindi lang po kasi ma'am, ang Bureau of Quarantine po, hindi lang po pagbamantay ng hotel galing sa restricted country yung function namin. Kami din po yung nag-aalaga ng mga OFW na nagpa-positive sa mga hotel positive facility natin. Ngayon po, yung increase ng demand ng yellow card, kailangan po namin ng additional people para po ma-operate namin yung satellite station. And yung normal response namin sa mga arrivals natin sa airport ay sa seaport. So talagang kailangan po namin ng manpower.
Would you say, Dr. Salvador, that because you lack the manpower, that this also affected your monitoring of the people that you have under your care?
Hindi po. Kasi po meron ko po kaming na-in-place na po namin yung system to how to monitor this arriving passenger po sa mga hotels po namin. So every day po talaga iniikot ng mga staff yan to check if they have signs and symptoms. Kaya yun po yung purpose namin po, bakit namin sila binabantayan sa hotel for 10 to 14 days po.
At dun sa pag-iikot nyo po, Dr. Salvador, ilan po ang mga naiikutan na individual na nagsasabing gusto nilang umalis ng mas maaga?
Marami po. Halos lahat po. Iyan ang gusto po nila is talagang to shorten the quarantine period po. Pero pag galing po talaga sa restricted country, mahigpit tayo na 14 days po talaga mandatory during the time of the IATF resolution po.
Can you categorically say that none of your personnel accepted any bribe?
Yes po,
so
ma'am.
So that quarantine periods will be shortened?
Yes po, ma'am. Hindi po talaga magkakaroon ng ganyang case kasi po, personally po, sa amin po manggagaling ang certificate. And may coordination din po, hindi lang po Bureau of Quarantine ang magbibigay ng clearance, even the hotel po. And the hotel under DOT, OFW under OWA. So coordination po yan. So hindi po pwedeng DOQ lang po ang magbigay ng clearance. Kasama po ang DOT, kasama po ang OWA. Kaya hindi po mangyayari yung bribery para ma-shorten ang quarantine period po.
Okay. What if they're actually experiencing symptoms? Can your personnel, or is it a possibility that DOQ personnel will just turn a blind eye to the symptoms and just, you know, finish the quarantine period and release possibly some of the individuals who are actually symptomatic?
No, ma'am. Our doctors and nurses po are trained how to detect signs and symptoms of COVID. So once na meron na pong complaint ng patient like simple cough, fever, or anybody malay po, we test them immediately. Then once na mag RT-PCR positive, kine-extract po namin yan. Kami din ang nag-aalaga sa kanilang maging COVID recovered sila.
Dr. Salvador, how will you disabuse, what can you say to disabuse the minds of some people who think that we are in this situation right now because something happened in the Bureau of Quarantine, because someone dropped the ball, whether wittingly or unwittingly, and allowed the entry of the Delta variant? Sabihin na po natin, baka po nagkaroon ng lagayan para po may ibang mga individuals na makapasok kahit na symptomatic sila, kahit na hindi natapos po yung quarantine po nila, because yan po ang naiisip ng ilan. What would you say to disabuse their minds, doctor?
Sinisigurado ko po under our watch po na hindi po nangyayari yung mga ganyang iniisip po na meron pong mga tao na makakapag-shorten quarantine po because of bribery or any reason po. So ang Bureau of Quarantine po is nandito po para i-implement po yung IATF protocol kaya maiwasan pumasok po yung mga variant or any emerging diseases. So since the SARS po, Ebola, kami na po ang in charge. So kaya po masasabi po natin na ang Bureau of Quarantine po is experienced na po sa management ng ganitong klaseng pandemic.
At handang-handa na po kayo kahit na ma-lift itong restrictions to 10 countries, kahit na po kulang ang inyong personnel?
Yes po, wala naman po pagbabago dun sa quarantine protocol. Matagal na po natin ginagawa yan. So ang Bureau of Quarantine po is ready po mag-respond sa kahit anong scenario po with regards to this pandemic.
All right, pumunta po tayo sa yellow card, Dr. Salvador. Kanina po nabanggit niyo po yun. Should it actually be your responsibility itong yellow card na ito? Or mas makabubuti ba na because the LGUs have the data anyway, shouldn't this be part of the LGU service and make it free to the public?
Yes, ma'am. Ang issuance po kasi ng yellow card natin, nag-start pa ito this. So, ini-issue po natin to, and ang Bureau of Quarantine po is a regulator kung may bayad ang issuance ng yellow card natin. Ang yellow card po was originally designed para sa mga seafarer because of their yellow fever, meningo, and polio. Pero okay, in-acknowledge po ito ng WHO na pwede pong gamitin as proof of vaccination for COVID-19. So ngayon po, meron pong direction ang government para maging libre po ang Pilipinas against COVID. Ito po yung tinatawag nating vaccert.ph. So anytime po ang vaccert.ph po will be deployed and this will be free po. So it will be recognized by the Philippine kina official document na i-release ng Pilipinas para sa COVID vaccination po, proof po together with the yellow card.
Together with the yellow card. Hindi ba pwedeng one-stop shop na yan? Pwede ba yun?
Ano naman ang signal? Sorry po.
Go ahead. Dr. Salvador, tinatanong ko po kanina, hindi ba pwedeng pag-isahin na lang yung yellow
po
card?
Ang, yun po ang eventually po, the yellow card and the vaccert po will integrate po.
Oo. Because nakikita niyo po yung isa pang step kasi, especially now that we're in the middle of the pandemic, no, I think all of these agencies are forced to really streamline their processes, no. Hindi na po kasama na rin po itong Bureau of Quarantine because you have all these overseas Filipino workers who are looking to work abroad. May isa pang kailangan daan ng level of bureaucracy, panibagong bayad na naman po. Is this something that you see that would really benefit our OFWs? At huwag nang patagalin pa.
Yes, ma'am. Kaya po ginawa ang vaccert.ph po para po makuha ng mga Filipino travelers, especially OFW, na maging libre yung certification ng COVID-19. So, starting this week po ata, September 6, or pwede na po siya magamit ng mga OFW. Ang target po is the NCR. Okay. And then after po ng pilot po ng NCR, maging national po yung launch. And ang DFA din po tumutulong po sa atin para po ma-introduce yung vaccert to be recognized by country of destination.
Opo. Pero kailangan pa rin nila yung yellow card?
No, ma'am.
Hindi na.
Either yellow card or vaccert. So ang sabi nga po natin, the yellow card is not mandatory. So, importante po, ipaalam natin sa mga traveler na before silang umalis, they need to contact the nation or the airline kung ano po yung requirement. If they need the yellow card or if the vaccert is already recognized dun sa country of destination po.
And the vaccert is for free. They can readily print it in their home?
Yes, ma'am. Yes po. Yun po ang purpose. Yun po ang target natin doon.
So, mas maganda yan for our OFWs kasi magkano yung yellow card? 300 plus?
Yes po, 370 po. Yes po. So, it was, kumbaga, ang yellow card po, hindi po sa COVID yan, COVID lang po. Other certificate, other vaccination po, yellow fever, polio, meningococcemia po.
Pero yun nga, I'm sorry to belabor the issue, pero yun nga, with the introduction of vaccert, kasama na rin dun yung ibang illnesses? Or
po,
COVID
ang
lang?
Vaccert is only for COVID lang po.
Ayun so, na nga yung sinasabi ko. Sana pag-isahin na lang.
Yes po. Yun po ang direction po talaga. Yellow card po.
Oo. So, we're looking so, at...
Pagsamahin po. With the help of the ICA po.
Sorry, Dr. Salvador. Opo, one last na lang po para klaro po. Ngayon po, the system is that you have the yellow card and you have the vax cert. Yung yellow card, hindi po mandatory. Actually, at this point, hindi mandatory pareho, no? Depende pa rin dun sa point of destination, right? But later on, the goal is to streamline the process so that you will only be needing one, which is vax cert. I-integrate po ninyo.
Yes po, i-integrate po ang BOQWHO yellow card and vax cert po. That will be pinag-usapan po ng DOH, DICT, and the other agency po involved in this program po.
And this will be for free?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. We appreciate your candor today, Dr. Roberto Salvador Jr. of the Bureau of Quarantine. Maraming salamat po. Thank you for joining us today and take care and you keep safe.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Vice President Lenny Robredo hits the Duterte administration's priorities in their proposed 2022 national budget. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. Back. We're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Let's take another look at our headlines this noon. Metro Manila mayors preparing for a possible shift to granular lockdowns this week. The Philippines reopens its borders to more countries despite the surging number of COVID-19 cases. Vice President Lenny Robredo slams the Duterte administration for its budget priorities amid the pandemic. And VP Robredo still hoping for a united opposition in next year's polls. Back with more news, more than a year and a half into this pandemic, and the Duterte administration still hasn't set its priorities straight. That's according to Vice President Lenny Robredo. She says this can be seen in government spending plan for 2022. In it, the health department received less than it asked for, while the anti-insurgency task force and the public works department still received big budgets.
A large percentage of the DPWH budget is for locally funded programs. Mm-hmm. And pag locally funded programs, Karen, dun pumapasok yung mga covered courts, yung mga multipurpose hall. Pandemic nga ngayon, kung ito yung binibigyan natin ng halaga, hindi tayo makakaalis sa ganitong sitwasyon. Kung hindi kaya ng DOH na sila yung mag-i-implement ng programs, dapat hanapan ng paraan. Pero hindi pwedeng hindi bigyan ng pera kasi hindi maayos yung absorptive capacity ng DOH.
If granted the opportunity to lead the country's pandemic response, Robredo says one of her first orders of business will be to provide health workers with the benefits they deserve.
We saw in the COA report na may pera eh. May pera na hindi nagagastos. So ayusin yun. And saka natin tingnan, after ito magastos, ito bang perang natitira natin, pwede ba natin itong gastusin para sa healthcare workers? Kasi kung hindi, kailangan may gawin tayo. Alba, babalik ba tayo sa Kongreso para magkaroon ng realignment?
Vice President Robredo also slamming President Duterte for sending mixed signals on corruption. She says despite Duterte's pronouncements against corruption, no actions have been taken against officials mired in such scandals. She also says the Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission should have already spearheaded investigations into all of the alleged overpriced medical supplies. But instead, the government decided to create a new anti-corruption task force.
Yung PACC ba, hindi ba siya gumagana? Kasi buong opisina ito eh. May mga taong sinisweldoan. So ang tanong ko lang, why would there be a need to create another layer? Mm-hmm. Kung meron namang existing, kung walang existing, tingin ko okay lang. Sabihin natin, wala kasing tumututo. So gagawa. Pero may PACC tayo eh. So ano yung wala sa PACC na kailangan gawin pa ito?
Vice President Robredo grateful for the support from several groups pushing her to run for president in 2022. Robredo, however, has yet to make up her mind when it comes to the upcoming national elections. She is still hoping to unify all opposition candidates and create the broadest coalition for next year's polls.
Sabi ko nga, yung pagkakandidato is the easy part. Eh. Pero yung titingnan natin, saan ba mas mapapabuti tayo lahat? If the circumstances were not this extraordinary, that would have been easier to decide on.
Mm-mm.
Pero because 2022 is a very important election, hindi tayo pwede magkamali sa pag-decide.
Oo.
Hindi pwedeng emotion lang. Mahirap kung sasabihin lang na kung sino sa atin yung pinakamataas yung numbers yun na yun. Mahirap eh. Kailangan upuan. I've spoken to almost all.
Okay.
Almost all the contenders already. And what we have agreed on before was we will talk again.
Robredo, also unfazed by President Duterte's comment about the opposition having no chance of winning in 2022.
Hindi naman siya yung magdedesisyon eh. Tao yung magdedesisyon.
For Senator Pantulo Lacson, talks of unifying the opposition must be backed up by concrete steps. Lacson points out it was VP Robredo who rejected his unification proposal. Lacson adds Robredo could have exercised more prudence by not making public details of his unification plan. The senator had earlier announced his intention to run for president next year. World News Now, the leader of the Afghan opposition group in the Panjshir Valley welcomes proposals from religious scholars for a negotiated settlement with the Taliban. Ahmad Massoud, head of the National Resistance Front of Afghanistan, had called for talks before fighting broke out a week ago. There has been no immediate response from the militant group. On Sunday, the Taliban said their forces had fought their way into the provincial capital and express confidence of winning the standoff in Panjshir. The region has long resisted control by both the invading Soviet army and the Taliban. Another coup in West Africa, soldiers claim to have seized power in Guinea and dissolved the country's constitution. But as this report tells us, the Guinean Defense Ministry is claiming the uprising has been put down.
Soldiers in Guinea staged an uprising in the capital on Sunday. They claim to have dissolved the constitution and the West African state's government.
La pauvreté, la corruption endémique.
One unidentified soldier, draped in Guinea's national flag, said the group planned to form a transitional government and that further details would be given later. Meanwhile, videos appearing to show the country's president, Alpha Condé, being detained by army special forces circulated on social media. Reuters could not immediately authenticate the footage, but it was posted just hours after heavy gunfire broke out near the presidential palace in Conakry. Several sources have claimed an elite national army unit led by a former French legionnaire, Mamadi Doumbouya, was behind the unrest.
We have decided, after taking the president, who is with us now, to dissolve the current constitution. We also decided to dissolve the government, to close the land and air borders. We call on our brothers in arms to unite in order to respond to the legitimate aspirations of the people of Guinea. We also invite everyone to stay in their bases and continue their usual activities. We will not make the same mistakes as in the past.
Right now, though, it's not immediately clear who holds power. The Guinean Defense Ministry said the attack on the palace by mutinous forces and an attempted insurgency had been put down. Earlier, videos shared on social media showed military vehicles patrolling Conakry's streets. One military source said the only bridge connecting the mainland to the Kaloum neighbourhood, which houses the palace and most government ministries, had been sealed off. That source added that many soldiers, some heavily armed, were also posted around the palace.
A medical miracle in Israel. Doctors separate twin girls who are conjoined at the back of their heads. Take a look.
10.
1-year-old twin Israeli girls who were born conjoined at the head, back to back, looked each other in the eyes for the first time on Sunday after undergoing rare separation surgery. The more than 12-hour operation at the Soroka Medical Center took months of preparation and involved dozens of experts from Israel and abroad. Chief Pediatric Neurosurgeon Mickey Gideon said the rare and complex surgery, which was performed last week, had only been carried out 20 times worldwide, and that this was the first time in Israel.
We have done the reconstruction of the brain membrane, a reconstruction of the skull, and now the plastic surgeons continue surgery for the sealing of the skin. To our delight, everything went as we had hoped.
A statement from the hospital said the surgery involved cranial reconstruction and scalp grafts for both girls, and the head of the plastic surgery department said the twins were, quote, recovering nicely.
In business, Philippine Airlines will delay the delivery or cancel orders for 13 Airbus aircraft as it pursues a corporate rehabilitation program. The flag carrier's chief financial officer, Nilo Rodriguez, says they negotiated the postponement or cancellation of the orders with Airbus beyond 2026 to 2030. PAL filed for bankruptcy protection in the U.S. over the weekend as it struggles to recover from pandemic-induced losses. But its management is hoping for a swift comeback in the coming months.
We will complete the recovery of Philippine Airlines. We firmly support the management and employees of PAL as they undergo the restructuring process. Together, we will deliver an airline with a reorganized balance sheet, a streamlined workforce, and a renewed sense of mission. Today, I give you this assurance. Like the Philippine flag, we will continue to stand tall and strong, the national carrier and premier airline of the Philippines. Philippine Airlines will keep flying.
For our customers, you should not experience any disruption in services throughout this restructuring process. All current and future tickets will be honored, including travel vouchers. We will maintain our current flight schedules and gradually increase our domestic and international destinations and flight frequencies as travel demand returns.
The flag carrier was forced into survival mode since last year when the COVID crisis disrupted tens of thousands of flights. PAL had won the support of most of its creditors and aircraft lessors to forgive debts worth over 100 billion pesos. Local pump prices set to go up for a second straight week tomorrow. The biggest hike will be for diesel prices, up by 95 centavos per liter. A liter of gasoline will cost 50 centavos more, while kerosene prices will rise by 60 centavos per liter. The adjustment reflects the movement in the world oil market as crude prices continue to jump on optimism about global economic growth. This also comes after U.S. crude inventories fell more than anticipated due to Hurricane Ida. The United Arab Emirates plans to launch 50 new economic initiatives to boost the country's competitiveness and attract up to $150 billion in foreign direct investment in the next 9 years. The projects include investing in technology and creating new visas to attract skilled workers. The two new visa categories are for freelancers and for entrepreneurs.
The UAE's drive for the next 50 years is to become a global, on the global realm and to become a global player across different industries. The region is what we've been targeting for the past 5 decades. Now we're moving on to ensure that a lot of our sectors are competitive at a global level.
The UAE has launched several measures over the past year to attract investment to help its economy recover from the effects of the pandemic. The changes also come amid a growing economic rivalry with Gulf neighbor Saudi Arabia to be the region's trade and business hub. And we have this just in breaking news this noon. The lockdown in Metro Manila will be lifted beginning September 8th. Also among those downgraded to general community quarantine are Baguio City, Kalinga, Abra, Benguet, Dagupan, Santiago City, Quirino, Isabela, Nueva Vizcaya, and Tarlac. Several areas, including Ilocos Sur and Ilocos Norte, Cagayan and Pangasinan will be placed under GCQ with heightened restrictions. Meanwhile, Apayao, Bataan, Bulacan, Cavite, Lucena City, Rizal, and Laguna will be under modified enhanced community quarantine. Earlier, Metro Manila Mayor said they were preparing to impose granular lockdowns on specific COVID-19 hotspots. The National Task Force Against COVID-19 also says more restricted businesses could be allowed to reopen.
Maaari pong maisama ito under very strict restriction. Tuloy ang ating mga technical team na pinag-aaralan ito, yung paglagay ng mga guidelines at saka implementing rules sa mga magluluwag. Hindi naman sinasabing biglang bukas sa agad. So maaaring magbigay daan ito sa dahang-dahang pagbubukas ng mga negosyo. Ito po yung pagbibigay daan sa normalization.
In sports, Filipino-Canadian tennis player Leila Fernandez takes down another top seed at the U.S. Open. Fernandez beat 16th seed and three-time Grand Slam champion Angelique Kerber to advance to the quarterfinals. Fernandez, who just turned 19, had ended Naomi Osaka's title defense in the third round. She will next face Tokyo Olympic bronze medalist Elina Svitolina. In Formula One, Max Verstappen wins the Dutch Grand Prix and overtakes Lewis Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship standings. The 23-year-old dominated in his hometown, leading from pole position all the way to the checkered flag. He finished 20 seconds ahead of Hamilton. Victory was Verstappen's seventh in 13 races, with 9 rounds remaining.
The expectations were very high going into the weekend. And it's never easy to fulfill that, but yeah, I'm of course so happy to win here, to take the lead as well in the championship. It's just an amazing day with just the whole crowd. Yeah, it's incredible.
I gave it absolutely everything today, flat out. I pushed as hard as I could, but they were just too quick for us. So I've had an amazing time here in Holland, thanks to the crowds.
The Tokyo 2020 Paralympics has come to an end. Dazzling fireworks marked the end of the games after 2 weeks of competition. The world's biggest event for athletes who have impairments began August 24th amid record COVID-19 cases in Tokyo. The games, however, pushed through without any major outbreak.
The Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games have not just been historic, they have been fantastic. In 12 magical days, athletes gave the world confidence, happiness, and hope. Athletes broke records. Athletes warmed hearts. Athletes opened minds. Importantly, athletes changed lives.
The Philippines failed to nab any medal at this year's Games. Filipino Paralympic athletes will have another chance in 2024 when the Games will be played in Paris. Marvel's first Asian superhero gets his debut film. Movie fans are also treated to another Cinderella story this week. Manny the Movie Guy tells us what he thinks about Hollywood's latest offerings.
Pop star Camila Cabello has some pretty big glass slippers to fill as one of the most iconic characters in animated films. She did an okay job, but this is a totally unnecessary remake. This Cinderella is a jukebox musical using popular songs to tell the familiar story. They updated the music, even her motivation. She now wants to be a businesswoman.
You said you wanted to be a businesswoman.
This woke version has Billy Porter spreading his magic. The rest of the cast gives strenuous performances, much like its heavy-handed message. Thank the fairy godmother that this is streaming on Amazon Prime Video. You don't need a carriage to take it to the theaters. There are still some hummable songs here, but the rest of the film is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. And for that, Cinderella gets 2 out of 4 forget the glass slippers kisses. And over on Netflix, the life-after-death comedy drama, Afterlife of the Party.
I died in the bathroom?
Victoria Justice stars as a party girl who accidentally dies, but she has unfinished business, so she's given a second chance to right her wrongs.
To make things right.
This one is sweet and charming, even though you'll be able to predict the outcome. But I love that the focus here is not romantic, but friendships. It even has a good message.
Live and love life to the fullest.
And for that, After Life of the Party gets 2.5 out of 4 Carpe Diem kisses. And only in theaters, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
You are your mother.
The first Marvel Asian superhero is finally here, and I'm welcoming Shang-Chi with open arms. Part spy thriller and heist movie, this one follows the events of Avengers Endgame. Shang-Chi must investigate the Ten Rings organization, but his past keeps coming back to haunt him. Besides great action scenes and performances, especially from Simu Liu as Shang-Chi, this one effectively expands the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though we're now familiar with the formula. But in this day and age of Asian hate, it's nice to see a fully explored Asian representation right there on the big screen. And for that, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings gets 3 out of 4 Kung Fu Kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC.
All right, before we go, just a repeat of the breaking news that we have this noon. The lockdown in Metro Manila will be lifted beginning September 8th. That's 2 days from now. Also among those downgraded to general community quarantine are Baguio City, Abra, Benguet, the cities of Dagupan and Santiago, Nueva Vizcaya, and Tarlac. Again, if you've just tuned in, GCQ over Metro Manila beginning September 8th. More on that in our succeeding newscasts. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Pramina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.